Live from the Geyer Studio, where combatants battle for the glory of cinema. This is Cinema Wars with your host DJ Ace, only here on WMCO. Welcome to the next round of Cinema Wars. I'm DJ Ace. I got an exciting topic for you all this night, and that is inspired by the fact that The Magnificent Seven comes out this weekend. Came out this weekend. Yep. And so we're going to talk about best Western films in light of that release. So I have three contestants here to talk about them. I have Nikki.
Hello.
Brad.
What up?
And Matt.
Hey.
And And once again, this is Cinema Wars. It is a contest. It's three contestants, one winner. They're going to argue about why their choice is the best one, and I will pick one based on argument and creativity at the end of these next 30 minutes.
So what you're saying is that we're going to war over cinema stuff.
Yes.
Got it.
That's what we're saying. All right. So the order has already been predetermined, and we are going to start with Brad. What was your choice?
Well, I've been listening to Western. I've been watching Western for a long time. This was a hard choice, but I gotta go with Clint Eastwood in his I can't speak. Clint Eastwood, Pale Rider. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Okie dokie, Nikki. What do you got?
So I also used to watch this movie a lot with my father growing up, and it is The Sons of Kate Elder. It has John Wayne and Dean Martin in it, a Steubenville native, so there
wait,
you go.
Dean Martin is a Steubenville native?
Yes, he is. He's from my hometown.
The King of Cool?
He is, yes. And he's a singer. He's awesome. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, wait a minute.
Have a choice, bro.
Okay, fine.
Star Wars is apparently not a good choice.
No.
Star Wars, by the way, is a space western.
Star Wars is not a space western.
It's between Django and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So I'm going to do The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Wait, the first or the... they remade it recently, didn't they?
No. I think,
no.
Oh, no, that's True Grit that they remade.
Yeah. I'm doing The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
I actually watched True Grit. I didn't mind it. It was fun.
The new one or the old one?
The new one.
I've yet to see either of them.
I like the old one better.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen the old one.
I heard the new one's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it had some people in it. All right.
I hope so.
So those are the choices. Now for the fun and or exciting part is the part where they start to discuss, argue, and as Brad so eloquently put it, war over their movie choices.
War on.
I just want to talk for a second. He said fun and or exciting, implying that it could be exciting but not fun.
So very stressful.
Yeah.
We promise you that if it's exciting, it will also be fun.
No, if it's exciting, it means it's gonna be really stressful and
well for them, not for
I'm
us.
With
dreadful.
That, it'll be stressful.
Yeah, I'm already stressing out a little bit.
So whoever wants to start.
You know what else is cute though?
Go ahead, Brad.
The girl in Pale Rider.
Aw.
So Pale Rider is a movie where Clint Eastwood, who is the king of westerns, he's more so than John Wayne.
Okay, whatever.
I'm just saying, like, no. I think that's what
I'm with Brad here.
So.
I'm with
what?
Brad here.
Okay, so when I think of a Western, I think of anything John Wayne. I don't really think Clint Eastwood.
Here's the problem with
John Wayne.
Here's the problem with John Wayne,
okay.
Pilgrim, is that I can't take him seriously.
Can I say
because,
one thing?
Yeah.
Can I say one thing? Two things. One, Aaron, I love your shirt. Just, you know, and also...
Oh, okay. No, now you have to describe his shirt because we're on the radio.
Right,
you're right.
They can't see it.
Is that Beethoven? Yeah, he has like lightning all around him and his hair is all electrified.
It's the Trans-Siberian Orchestra of Beethoven's Last Night.
Can I just ask what that has to do with John Wayne / Clint Eastwood?
It's called brownie points.
You're going to have to...
Oh, okay.
And also...
It's called brown nosing.
Yes. No, that's something completely different. Second thing, my mic smells like spit. Just to level out the playing field for myself.
Anyway, I'm going to say that line in two separate things, and you tell me which one sounds more Western. My mic smells like spit, or my mic smells like spit.
The second one.
Ugh.
Right? I think you just sound like a cranky old man.
Yeah,
that's
like,
Clint Eastwood
that's
now.
What Westerns are.
That's what he is.
They're Westerns, like you're from
men.
The West. You have a distinct accent other than
right,
just
but he doesn't have a Western accent. He has a Southern accent.
The beauty of Clint Eastwood.
But it's not even an accent. It's a little.
The beauty of Clint Eastwood in his movies, like in his Westerns, his spaghetti Westerns that were shot in Italy, which is also fantastic. where mm-hmm. that like there was they always introduced a very bad sinister villain that was always like seemed to always, you know, dominate the playing field, like the table. Mm-hmm. But then like here comes Clint Eastwood, like not even phased at all, and he's just looking very timid.
In Pale Rider, he literally rides in, like this baron of the town is kind of messing with people, and Clint Eastwood rides in, and he's a preacher on a pale horse, and someone looks at him and goes and recites this bit from the Bible, which is that and the final rider, which rode in on a pale horse, was called Death, and, I think is like one of the coolest lines in all of movie history. But also, he walks in, and, like, everyone just kind of... Because he's Clint Eastwood. Everyone knows he's Clint Eastwood. So he walks in, and everyone's kind of like, okay, maybe we should back up a little bit. I mean, his character's a preacher, so I guess that's part of it. But Clint Eastwood is awesome. And John Wayne...
No, okay. John Wayne movies are, like,
there's a reason that John Wayne
more...
never acted with Clint Eastwood, and that's because he was afraid.
Oh my goodness.
I second
no.
this.
That's because John Wayne.
Okay, I feel like I'm getting attacked here. Okay.
Okay. So, I'm sorry that you feel like you're getting attacked.
It's okay.
It's almost like this is a war.
I know. Right?
That is true. And I guess it is a war. Okay. Right. But no, John Wayne films are more like family oriented. Like females like me can watch a John Wayne film and be like, oh, this is pretty cool. But then Clint Eastwood's that grumpy old man. And it's just like.
But he's not even a grumpy old man in the movies that we're talking about.
But he sounds like a grumpy old man.
He's like, not. He's like freaking like maybe 30. I think he's like 30 in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And
he's probably younger in Pale Rider.
And heck, I mean, like, nothing beats the final scene with the three. You have Joe, and you have the Mexican dude, Tuco. I'm looking at their names. Joe, it says Mexican outlaw. My memory of this movie isn't that good, but like I know enough about it to remember the scene where like him, Tuco, and his rival, the other the other cowboy dude, they're all like in like they're at a standoff, and it goes on for like 5 minutes with them not even like, you know, no guns or anything. They're just like standing there staring at each other. But it's like the most anxious scene I've ever seen in cinematic history, because they're just like staring at each other, going cut frame to cut frame to cut frame, back and forth, and then they finally like shoot each other and stuff. But like
Good and the Bad and the Ugly is fantastic because it kind of what do you use to make sidewalks? What's the stuff you use to make sidewalks?
Concrete?
Yeah, thank you. It concreted.
It's cemented?
Cemented. Thank
cemented.
You.
That's
it's
the one.
Cemented. It's been a long day, guys.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
It cemented the role of the anxious duel in... a Western movie. Because before that, you've got John Wayne, who's in Stagecoach, who's just not even a great... Just get out of here, John Wayne.
Okay, so I didn't say Stagecoach. I know. Okay.
I know. I'm just saying, like, that's like him, and there's not a single duel in that. And what's the movie that you did pick with John Wayne?
The Sons of Kate Elder.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, didn't think so. So my movie...
Like, this Mexican standoff that was cemented into... It's called a Mexican standoff now.
Yeah, it is.
Because of that movie. Because they're standoffing with the Mexican outlaws.
Let's also talk about the scene where, like, at the beginning, they're in the... they're trying to break into the bank, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that was the Good, the Bad, the Ugly. That scene itself was also pretty dramatic and just well-paced and everything and just very good feel. That's all I really got.
Very good feel.
That's all I got.
All right, Nikki, I want to hear
something.
Hurts
a little
Thank bit. You. Appreciate it. Okay.
I can't promise that I won't interrupt.
That's okay. But you already interrupted it once, so it's okay. Okay, so my movie is about these four brothers come home for their mother's funeral because she had just passed away, and their dad has already passed away. And they find out when they get home that dad has been murdered and not just died of some disease. He was murdered because he gambled away his family's farm. So the sons come back and try to gamble again and get the farm back, which they did, but then they get in trouble with the cops, with the sheriffs, on their horses because it is a Western. They come to the farm.
Thanks
and,
for the
you know,
clarification.
You're
that
welcome.
Sounds exactly like the movie Four Brothers, which stars Marky Mark in the Funky, not the Funky Bunch, just Marky Mark.
Oh, I
Actually,
don't know. I've never
know.
Seen that.
Okay. Okay. Four brothers come home for their mother's funeral, find out that their father has been killed for reasons that were not right or whatever, and then they have to kind of have a battle with the cops in an attempt to get everything back.
Oh, maybe that's like a redo of this. I don't know. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
But it kind of sounds similar.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just saying. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, my point with that is that if we can replace your one of your characters with Mark Wahlberg. Then
oh my goodness!
It's not, he's not
even
a great
alive.
Which
I'm assuming you would replace John Wayne, right, and not Dean Martin. Have you ever even seen a Dean Martin film? Have you seen his acting? He's an amazing actor. I love him. Okay. I'm getting these crazy looks that you cannot see.
No, he's a good actor. He's a decent actor, probably.
Was a decent actor.
Is he dead?
Yes.
He my dead. Condolences he to dead. The Martin family. He's been dead for like 40 years, right?
Something like that, yes.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I'm not retracting my condolences.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
All right. So Good and the Bad and the Ugly is yes. a great film.
Correct.
John Wayne.
No, we're not doing this.
That's it. That's all I had to say no. about that. It's a great film, but it's super overplayed.
Do you know why it's overplayed? Mm-hmm. Why is it overplayed, Brad?
It's overplayed because it's a good film.
Exactly. It's one of the best okay. Westerns
see,
ever
then
made.
It becomes not as that... great film
no.
because
it's
it is overplayed.
Overplayed.
No.
It
like, it's
cliche.
Like a good song. Like, you love a song, but then the radio just keeps playing it and playing and playing
it, make...
and you end up start
that,
to hate it.
That does not make it a bad song. It makes it overplayed.
Yeah, so you start That's... to hate it.
No, but like that doesn't...
Yeah,
that
I,
does
I'm
not
saying...
critique the quality of a song,
okay,
though.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So the quality of a movie does not determine, like... It's not determined by how many times it gets played.
A little bit. A little bit.
Okay, so if it does determine that, it's been played
just
millions and trillions of times.
A small
so it must
amount.
Be pretty good. It must be a pretty good movie.
I mean,
if we're basing
yeah,
it off of that.
The problem is that at this point it's become cliche.
No. Mm-hmm.
Whereas Pale
it's set,
Rider.
It set the cliche. It set the tone for Westerns.
Right, it's like
it
Pride and
is
Prejudice.
The,
like yeah. when it was written, it was a fantastic
okay,
book.
Okay, Alice in Wonderland's, like last week we talked about Alice in Wonderland and how it set the standard for special effects.
We
and
talked about Wizard of Oz.
That's why did I say Alice in Wonderland?
Like, it's similar.
It is. It's so. That's what, okay. That exactly my point. Exactly my point right there.
Little girl goes. To
you know, Wizard of Oz
wants to get home.
Set the tone and set the standard for practical effects and special effects, and that's what basically made it one of the best movies for the practical effects. And that'll be the same That's the same discussion for. Clint Eastwood's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, directed
See,
by somebody else.
Here's the problem, is that you've got Pride and Prejudice syndrome, which is that everybody who has ever read Pride and Prejudice
oh dear.
Loves it because they're like, oh, it's this fantastic book that redefined the nature of the romance novel. And the point is, yeah, it did that.
Yeah.
Like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's
and right
the, that's
now,
what makes it so
right
remarkable.
Right now, it's cliche. It's pointless. It's the same thing you'd see in every other thing.
So, really quick.
Girls.
Okay, people who imitate the best should be the ones being ridiculed, not the ones who actually set the cliche. If I became
There's
a
difference between imitating and improving.
Okay, and this movie improved the game. He did not imitate. He set the standard. I mean, the entire team set the standard because it's not just Clint Eastwood. We like to say it is, but we really know.
I clearly should have probably picked a Clint Eastwood movie here.
Probably.
The,
I'll admit John Wayne is probably the second best Western actor.
But see, I just
maybe
think
the
of
third.
Him,
Samuel L. Jackson was in a Western now. Maybe
yeah.
the third.
I was going to say Django. That was my other argument,
yeah.
but it's too new.
Oh,
it's
Jamie Foxx. That's true. Yeah, we were all under the impression, dear listener, that...
Django.
No, Samuel L. Jackson wasn't in... Oh,
he
yeah,
was.
He
was.
He was also
yeah.
in Hateful Eight, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
That was a great
that's
movie.
What I was
Django was better, but that's a different time.
Yeah,
that's a
different
argument.
Oh.
That's a whole different
sir.
Argument.
Yeah.
Oh,
we might
I
have
cannot.
To have that argument.
I'm... Okay.
Best Tarantino film.
Oh, bring me in. Bring me in. Bring me in.
I will come in blazing.
All right. Hold on. All right. Focus.
I'll show no
focus.
Mercy.
What were you saying?
Basically, it set a new... It set the bar very high for the rest of the Westerns that ever came after it.
Right, and then Pale Rider succeeded and passed that bar.
I'm pretty sure The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is still more memorable than...
Ooh, you want to talk about memorability.
Yes.
Oh.
That's what we've been talking about memorability, haven't we, Brad?
No, we're talking about quality. Which,
No. I was trying to talk about quality, and then you came over here and talked about how many times it's been played on the TV.
Oh.
And how cliche it's gotten.
He has a point.
It's so cliche now because of how
it is a little bit cliche
because everybody's been inspired by that movie.
It.
Yes,
yeah.
It makes it a very memorable movie for that reason.
I mean, okay, it's memorable, yeah. But that doesn't make it good.
I feel like
the more memorable something gets, the less good it becomes.
No,
because it's not new anymore.
But it's
not creative. It's not.
So you're saying, okay, hold on a second.
But the more you play something.
Okay, so The Wizard of Oz, for instance, is unoriginal now because it had Willy Wonka and some other things come after it, like some other very psychedelic movies.
I actually
movies.
Don't overly like The Wizard of Oz.
I think it's a decent movie, but we're not going to.
But we talked about that. We talked about that movie last week.
Wait,
come
on. Is that why you like it, Aaron? Because it has flying monkeys?
No, I just said it had flying monkeys.
Oh,
that's
okay.
About all I know.
But like,
about
I mean,
it.
That's a pretty creative movie for its time, and
no
one else
true,
was doing
it. Yeah. And for its time, that was fantastic.
And that reason, it's left its mark in that time period. This is Westerns are a period piece now. I mean, back in the 60s, basically when it ruled cinema, and now it's kind of making like a little revival with Tarantino and some other guys being like, hey, this is still cool. But anyways, we're talking about movies set back in the 60s and or that were shot in the 60s and the 50s.
Maybe, yeah, the quality westerns, not the...
We're talking about the 60s era of movies right now. I mean, if we're comparing it off of that, I mean...
True Grit, Lone Ranger, Lonesome Dove.
Yeah. My knowledge of Westerns is pretty low, I'll admit it. But I've definitely seen most of the Clint Eastwood movies, his Westerns.
I mean, I haven't even seen all of them.
There are too many.
I don't know if I've seen
so
Dirty
many,
Harry.
So many Clint Eastwood films, oh my gosh. Nikki, you've been pretty quiet over there.
They've just been going at
and
it, and
I
once again,
kind of
I clearly
ripped...
should have picked a Clint Eastwood movie.
I feel
and...
bad, because
yeah,
we kind
no.
of ripped on John...
It's okay.
John Wayne.
His name's John Wayne.
I almost said John Glenn, but I knew that wasn't right.
You know his
Wayne.
Name.
Oh, no. We're not going there either.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, just Clint Eastwood is, you know, his character Joe is just so iconic, you know? Like, the music and the good, the bad, and the ugly is also just so iconic. You know, like, the whistle.
Yeah, the whistle.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like...
I'm pretty sure you.
Well, there are a few different. That one right there.
There
you
go.
There it is.
Yeah. I have to do the first part. And
I got you. You have to get your.
It's like getting into an accent. Like you have to have a word that gets you into it.
I was really confused for a minute. I thought you were doing the Hunger Games whistle.
That's what I was going to say.
No.
John Wayne and
Dean Martin.
Dean Martin sounds like a fantastic team up, and I really want to see this movie.
It
now.
Actually was. Like, please go, like, watch it. I know it's on, like, YouTube and Google Play and stuff. I'm pretty sure it's probably not on Netflix. But it is a pretty awesome movie. It's one of my favorite westerns. And honestly, I think I've watched more John Wayne westerns than I have Clint Eastwood westerns.
That's fair.
But
you're allowed to be have a different opinion than us.
Well, only because that's what my dad grew up watching. So when it came on AMC or them old channels, that's...
Them old channels, yeah.
Yeah, them old channels.
AMC, TCM.
Yes, there we go. That one.
Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah.
Them old channels,
that one.
Yo.
I should have just
ABC
said...
Family.
Yeah. Disney Channel is owned by...
Ba-da-ba-ba. Wait, no, that's McDonald's.
What?
I was
Were
trying
you thinking
to do
of Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of when I heard McDonald's.
I mean, to be fair, I'm hungry too, so you know what?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Listen, if any of the directors or actors in these movies are listening... And you want to, like, send us food? Like, please.
I doubt
or jobs.
Or sending us
you know,
food.
Yeah, or jobs.
I'd love a job.
Or jobs.
You know what? Jobs first, probably, and then food.
And then food.
I'm already paying for food. Well, my parents are paying for my food here, so I got to
right.
respect that.
All right.
Thank
John
you, family.
Wayne.
John Wayne, what about
I keep
him?
Wanting to say John Glenn.
No,
talking
not
about John
Glenn.
Wayne a little
John
bit.
John Wayne. What about John Wayne?
Talk to me about him a little bit. Well, I just, like... Inform the listener, the ignorant, potentially ignorant listener, of.
I also kind of am not familiar on westerns that.
Okay.
I mean, just John Wayne westerns. I don't watch everything
else
and anything else.
Talk to us about John Wayne westerns.
John Wayne's just like a really. Okay, I'm gonna say.
I just want you to say
but
things.
But you're giving me these looks. Okay. So I think John Wayne is like this really tough.
And everyone's staring awkwardly
at
Nikki.
I'm looking at Aaron now. Okay. So I just feel like John Wayne is really like tough and go get him kind of
some psychological warfare up in here.
Oh my goodness. You guys cannot see these faces that he is making at me.
Dead kind face of freaking on three. Me out. One, two, three.
But then dead face makes me feel like I'm being looked at like I'm dumb.
Like actually dead, like, hold on.
Okay, so these faces are completely like, creepy, in case you're wondering.
Eyes glazed over.
I've had to play dead a few times in my life. I don't like to talk about it.
Know. All right. Exactly. Have you been in a Western? There we go. Okay.
All right, maybe if I get work soon for one of these.
Here's what I want to say.
Okay.
You said earlier that Sons of Kate
Elder.
Elder.
Yes.
And it was a John Wayne film.
Yes.
And it was family friendly. Here's the thing. Do we really want a family-friendly Western?
Yes.
No.
Back to the Future 3.
Okay, so wait.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Okay,
no,
and by
we
the
cannot.
Way, in Back to the Future 3, when Martin McFly goes into the bar and he has to give a fake name because he thinks he needs to be 21, what name does he give? Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Because that's a tough character.
That's it. That's it.
That's it. Well, I only said, okay, so this is why I said it's a family film, because at one point, like, they grow up and they clearly move away like families do, but then they come back together. They try to get their dad's farm back. They go to their mother's funeral, you know, all that good stuff. They end up reaching a goal and getting the father's farm back.
And everything.
Like, they come together. Like, it's a family film. Like, the brothers come together.
Except for the part where the mom and dad die.
Oh, clearly.
Well, yeah.
Clearly.
I don't like family films.
Probably the shootout. Like,
okay. So John Wayne plays the oldest brother, so he has, like, the most knowledge and everything. He's the main one, like, trying to get them to come back in. And
trying to get them to come back in.
Just
with
try.
With his accent. Okay.
Yeah.
And Dean Martin, I'm pretty sure, is the one that plays the gambler. Like, one of the sons actually follows in the dad's footsteps and is the gambler. And he's the one that technically kind of wins it back, because he's the one clearly gambling, because he gambles. So
really?
And then when the sheriffs all show up to the farm and stuff, because, you know, they gambled for the farm to come back, John Wayne, his name in the movie is actually John, too. That's pretty cool. John.
What?
Yeah, mind blown. Okay.
Is Dean Martin's name in the movie Dean?
No, it's like Tom or something.
Okay.
I feel like Dean's.
Do they have a sister, Jane? Because then
I don't
they could
know.
Be. And also
no,
a sister, Richard? Because then, okay.
No, it's brothers. There is four brothers. I will give you the four brothers' names.
Then they could be Tom, Dick, and
Jane. It is John Elder, Tom Elder, Bud Elder, and Matt Elder.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, at least there's a Matt.
So John Wayne is the elder brother?
John Wayne is the elder brother.
The elder brother.
Elder Scrolls.
He's the eldest brother.
He is the eldest elder brother.
What?
Because their last name's Elder.
Oh, right, like, an
he's
eldest,
the
like an elder,
elder
tree.
Brother.
Oh, man.
He's the oldest
that
elder.
That was, like, the worst last name.
He was the firstborn of the elder siblings.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So
continue.
Continue. I lost my train of thought.
So what is it about this movie that makes it? Because I'm assuming you've seen other John Wayne films.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of other John Wayne films?
Whatever ones come on TMC.
Okay. True Grit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What is it that puts this movie above True Grit for you?
Honestly, okay, so I kind of wasn't really thinking True Grit when I came in here earlier, but True Grit is also an amazing film. I probably should have picked that one also over this one.
I probably should have gone with Good, Bad, and the Ugly, but I'm just trying to take
I probably should have just went with a Clint Eastwood period, because
well,
apparently that's more Western than John
Wayne. You can
Wayne.
Hear how much I'm talking right now, so I'm just kind
of... You're now me.
Yeah.
A little bit ago.
Yeah.
I kind of feel on the spot. Okay.
You should.
You are on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Like, literally.
I'm just glad nobody chose Adam Sandler's
whatever six
the,
or whatever.
The Ridiculous Six.
Like right after the Hateful Eight. We have the Hateful Eight, then we have Ridiculous Six, and now we have the Magnificent Seven. So,
Magnificent Seven was actually an old film.
Yeah.
Which
this one's a remake.
I know. See it.
The Magnificent Seven is cool because it started off as a traditional samurai story, like told in Japan about like these or maybe it was an American film and then it became a samurai film, became really popular then.
Ooh, that's interesting.
But yeah, so they have all the, it's cool. and they have lots of great actors.
Yeah, I'm just like, cool. It has Chris Pratt in it, man.
I have a good idea for another episode.
Well, you can tell me after this.
Yeah.
Show. Okay.
Okay. All right. So I haven't completely grasped the Pale Rider plot line here. So
okay. So
what happens in Pale Rider?
So in Pale Rider, there is this town, this small town that has recently struck gold, and one of the things that is happening is the sort of baron of the town, mayor maybe. Has all these goons around him and is forcing the townspeople to give him their gold. And so he's doing this, and he's like, he's physically forcing them. Like, he's shooting people. This preacher on a pale horse.
Yeah, I remember that.
Played by Clint Eastwood, the man. And he rides in, and he kind of, partially because he's a preacher, partially because he's Clint Eastwood, partially because there's awesome music playing in the background, everything kind of dies down, and he shows them that he's not afraid of the of sort of standing up to the mayor, but he's not overly interested in helping this town. And so part of the first part of the movie is the town sort of convincing him. And you getting a feeling and an attachment to this town and the people and their struggles. And the next part of the movie, the middle part, is where the preacher goes into town to buy something, like a hammer or something, because he's staying at this like one house and he needs to help out. And he gets sort of, I want to say mugged, but mugged implies that it ends badly for the person getting mugged, when in fact it ends badly for the other guys.
Attacked.
Yeah, he gets attacked by like four or five men. And
assaulted.
Assaulted is probably better.
Yeah.
He walks in the general store, and they're there, and they're kind of, you can tell they're threatening him. And so he goes up and he buys a 2x4. And then proceeds to kick the living daylights. And I say that because I cannot use stronger language on the radio. out of like these five or six guys, and then like has this kind of cool confrontation with the major baron, where the baron offers him money, and then Clint Eastwood's like, no, you just had your guys try and jump me. Why would I take your money to work for you? That's nonsense. And then he goes back to help the town, and the rest of the movie is sort of like Home Alone meets a Western, where they like...
I don't know if I want to see that movie, Brad. It doesn't sound...
Oh, you want to see it.
Oh, man.
Oh, let me tell you. Okay, but the best part of Home Alone is when the robbers try and get into the house, right?
Yeah.
He's set up all the traps, and he's set up an ambush for them. Oh, please, you're just angry because you know I'm about to win.
Oh, my
God. No. They set up traps for him, and they sort of use their... Because all they know what to do is mine. And the movie ends with Clint Eastwood riding out of town on his pale horse, and then that line goes again. It says, and the final rider rode in on a pale horse, and he was called Death.
Cool.
And then, like, cool little... I don't think it's saxophone. It's like a Dean Martin-esque instrument plays.
Okay.
And, like, roll credits.
Huh. And speaking of Mexican crazy standoffs, so I have to pick one of you, and we're like, you're all three there sitting there and whatnot. So we got one going on right now. All right.
Actually,
so,
there are two movies before. Okay.
All right. So we need to pick a winner. Or rather, I need to pick a winner.
I was going
to
say, are we going to do this by committee? Because I vote for myself.
Yeah, no, that's just not how
it works. I do not vote for Brad because he has all
this. So, unfortunately, Nikki, I did not hear enough from you.
I know, that's okay.
So, you're out. So, between Brad and Matt,
it's going to be me.
It's a fierce struggle, but I'm going to have to give this one to Brad.
I'm going to rage quit now, guys.
Rage quit.
Flip the table. Go on, do it. It's bolted to the floor, but I believe in you.
Hold on a sec.
All of us lift at once.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to CineWars tonight, and we'll be back next week here on WMCO.
Next time on Cinema Wars, what is the best Netflix original series? The views and opinions expressed on Cinema Wars are not associated with Muskingum University, Orbit Media, WMCO, Orbit TV, and the Black and Magenta. The war is far from over. Tune in next week at 10 in the evening here on WMCO 90.7 for the next round of Cinema Wars.